As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Thank you, Dave. 9:10 later on this hour, we'll talk to Simone Malloz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, about the Louisiana $2 billion coastal plan that was approved, but work stopped on the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. We'll talk about that. But first, we're joined by Joe DeTore, Dr. Deep Sea, an assistant professor at the University of South Florida, retired Navy officer who lived underwater. Everybody's got a story, and I wanted to hear his. How you doing, doctor?
Hey, I'm well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell me your story for people that don't understand what you did and why you did it.
I have a PhD in biomedical engineering, so I wanted to find out what happens to the human when you leave them in an isolated, confined, extreme environment for a long period of time. So we did blood, urine, saliva, electrocardiograms, electroencephalograms, pulmonary function tests, all these tests like akin to what we did prior to when we were at Sea Lab in the 70s, you know. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done that kind of research underwater in a long time. I want to see what really goes on long term.
So what exactly did you do?
I stayed in a pressurized environment, i.e. underwater, in a dry pressurized cavern, and I went out and swam every day and basically lived underwater for 100 days. Not that it was a record-setting event, it was, but, you know, I did it mostly because we're going to get in a tube and we're going to go to Mars. So we need some kind of an analog on the Earth before we go to figure out what happens to humans when you leave them like that.
So you were in the water or in a tube? I'm confused.
I was in a tube which was actually in the water, and I was open to the water the entire time. So pressure and water are equivalent. So I was under pressure the entire time, but it was air. So we multiplied that pressure, pushed all the water out, and we were able to live in a dry environment for a period of time, and then we got wet every day.
What were the results after doing, and is how long, for 100 days you're underwater?
100 days, yeah. So interestingly enough, every single inflammatory marker in my body was cut in half, which is, you know, HSCRP, interleukin-6. We're talking all of the primary drivers for systemic inflammatory response, which we know was something that hit during COVID, and everybody was all concerned about it. You know, I usually sleep 30 to 33% in deep and REM. I doubled that. I slept in deep and REM combined 60 to 66%. Compelling results. I mean, just absolutely insane results.
So that was good or bad when it comes to sleeping?
Oh, that's terrific. You want, when you sleep, you restore, you relearn, you recategorize everything that happened during the day. And if you can sleep in deep and REM longer, that is the goal, right? And nobody sleeps 60 to 66% in deep and REM. That's just insane.
So why do you think that happened?
So it's one of the mechanism of action, known mechanisms of action of hyperbaric medicine. Hyper means more than, baric means pressure, right? So you can get these results from going to a hyperbaric chamber, hyperbaric center near you.
When it comes to your height, there was a change in your height?
No, that was an unknown quantity. I did not expect that, that is for sure. But yeah, because it makes sense now to me that astronauts grow when they go to space. Aquanauts, and that's because those astronauts are in tension, so they're constantly being pulled apart. But aquanauts are in compression the whole time. So I had a minor compression of my spinal disc vertebra, and when it did, I basically shrunk by 3/4 of an inch. Now, when I came out, I actually it took me about 4 months, 5 months to get that 3/4 of an inch back. But yeah, I did shrink 3/4 of an inch and then grow back 3/4 of an inch.
What are some of the scientific applications of what you did moving forward?
Yeah, so we know that people are suffering from systemic inflammatory response. In the United States, we're suffering from this greatly, and it's quite unfortunate. 70 million Americans alone suffer from sleep disorders. I mean, and we're talking just the tip of the iceberg. I'll give you a perfect for instance. My cortisol dropped while I was in that pressure, and I had a corresponding spike in testosterone. Anybody you know have testosterone issues? Mm-hmm. You know, the pressure medicine can be helping you, you know, but, and this is all preliminary science. It's all first round science. It's all observational at this point. However, it's compelling because there are some great, great things that happened while we were underwater.
Like the, besides the sleep, some of the other things?
Well, besides the sleep, the testosterone increase was absolutely compelling. The inflammatory response decreasing. And I also had a corresponding increase in those things like the anti-inflammatory cytokines. So the anti-inflammatory cytokines, you know, we had the good ones go up and the bad ones go down, if you will. So that was great. You know, I took 19 psychological, psychosocial tests while I was down there for things like anxiety, depression, you know. And while my scores started off reasonable, they all declined, which means got better. The results got better while I was down there, and that's a known mechanism of action of hyperbaric medicine in that it releases serotonin, right? So, you know, it's the happy place to be. It's the good place to be. Living in that isolated pressure can definitely help humans. So there were a bunch of good things that came out of it, aside from the fact that we found two new species of fish or things underwater while we were down there. One was a single-celled psyllid, and the other was a new species of sponge. And you probably well know that, you know, sponge, a powerful antiviral called acyclovir is derived from a sponge in the water. So it's kind of cool. Like, there are good medical applications, you know, and we did a great bunch of teaching to kids, too. So
when it comes to you just from a personal level, do you notice any differences in yourself that were lasting or permanent after this?
Oh, incredible. My outlook in life has changed. So here I am in that isolated, confined, extreme environment, and you have to kind of look in, right? I had some guests, but not a lot. You know, PhDs, MDs, astronauts came to visit me and so forth, and, you know, I had a couple of kids come down and stay the night and hang out and learn, you know, science learning. But for me, I spent a good deal of time alone, and that causes you to face and turn inside and look what's going on in your own life and how compelling whatever you're doing is going to affect the planet, if you will. So all of that looking inside, that's the kind of stuff that our astronauts are going to have to do when they do that 200-day mission to Mars. So right here is the place to do it, and it's a great look inside for me. It was, and I have these great lasting impressions long term, and I'm exceptionally happy and ready to rock and roll. Some of the medical events still continued on. Testosterone is still high. Inflammatory marks are still low at this point. Overall, I'm in great health. I mean, for instance, another thing that came out of it was telomere lengthening. Now, telomeres are the little things on the end of your chromosomes that basically say how many times you can replicate that chromosome. My telomeres lengthened by 17%. It's crazy. That's the cure for living longer.
So how do you take that and apply it to everyday life for people every day?
Absolutely. So what we do is we go to a hyperbaric medicine center near you, you know, a good one, one that has the proper appropriate certified chambers, and you get in there and you do hyperbaric medicine, and, you know, you have that cognitive increase in hyperbaric medicine. You only have to do it about an hour a day, and basically you can get these things that I got, the inflammatory reductions. I have PhD students that just did a study on that, and you can get those inflammatory reductions in hyperbaric medicine. You can get that better sleep quality. You can get that increase in testosterone. You know, all that stuff is easily obtainable.
When you say inflammatory diseases, you're talking about arthritis and things like that, or inflammation of joints?
Yeah, so what happens is, you know, as Americans, we eat kind of cruddy, right? We eat processed food, and it's unfortunate, but your body is in this inflammatory response. You get inflamed from what we eat and what we do. This sort of medicine, this naturopathic medicine, using oxygen or hyperbarics as a drug, which is, you know, cleared by the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, and the FDA has approved it for 16 indications at this point. But, you know, when you do that, you reduce that inflammation, which lets your body, helps your body to heal itself. You know, people take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories because they are inflamed, right? And you can do the very same thing with a naturopathic remedy, if that makes sense.
Do you know where the increase in testosterone came from, or why?
Yeah. It's a very compelling, it's a known thing that happens to humans when we decrease our cortisol. So cortisol is a stress hormone. While I was underwater, while I was under pressure, I decreased my cortisol, and it's not like I lived any less stress while I was underwater. As a matter of fact, I was teaching 3 hours a day, every day at the University of South Florida. Online, I'm teaching this biomedical biotransport course. You know, I'm lecturing, I'm doing 6 to 8 hours of science a day, and I'm reaching out to kids. We reached 5,500 some odd children in 19 different countries just to talk to them about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So I had stressful days, 14, 15, 16 hour days every day. I was sleeping so much better, and my inflammation was going down, my cortisol was decreased, and then the testosterone picked up. And your body wants to heal itself, so you can naturally just continue that if you don't insult your body with these, you know, inflammatory markers, these inflammatory things, right? So when you get out of that pressure, you just don't eat poorly, and you're great. You know, you keep that on, so it's good.
So did you change your diet, or do you know this was about the pressure or about what you were eating?
No, while I was underwater, I did not change my diet at all from before I went underwater. Basically, I was exactly the same. That's science. You change as few things as humanly possible, right? So I did that. And then when I got out, the reductions and the increases were so compelling that I was like, okay, now that I'm out, I'm going to start changing the way I eat. I'm going to start changing the way I live because of all that inflammation that I had in my body before I went underwater. Oh, my goodness, I need to get rid of that, right? So I started living a little better. I started drinking a lot more water. I started taking a little better care of myself. I mean, I'm a researcher. I teach college. You know, I'm not the perfect eater, that's for sure. But this was the kickstart that I needed. Like you said, what happened to you? It's like it was a profound change in my entire life.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back, and we'll talk about what this means or could mean for the future of hyperbaric medicine, and also about the availability the cost of that, what it could mean for society. Joe Dottori is our guest, Dr. Joe Dottori, Dr. Deep Sea, assistant professor at the University of South Florida, retired Navy officer. We'll talk about his Navy experience as well. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Interesting conversation, 928, talking to Dr. Joe Dottori, Dr. Deep Sea, assistant professor at the University of South Florida, retired Navy officer, about living underwater for 100 days, I think it was, right, doctor?
Yes, sir.
And the effects, the positive effects it had, and it goes to hyperbaric medicine. And with that being said, I'm getting a lot of text about people.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Saying that it's incredibly helpful, but it's also incredibly expensive. So has the medical community looked into your experiment at all, your research at all?
Sure, absolutely. And basically it's just struck home with everybody that, look, these are just, it is hyperbaric medicine. We know these mechanism of action. We know this type stuff can come out. And, you know, like I said, think about every single person that has an autoimmune disorder. That's a disease of inflammation, right? Think about every single person that has Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Those are diseases of inflammation. Now, inflammation, you have to take anti-inflammatories, you have to take Mobic, you have to be tied to, you know, a toilet if you have some kind of Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, or you can go to a hyperbaric center. You know, and I've because I do research in hyperbarics, I've seen and done research in Crohn's with a particular girl. Came by, she did about 30 treatments, and then she disappeared. Well, I went out to dinner one night, and she said, "Oh my God, it's you! You're that guy that saved my life. I have a whole new life because of you, right?" So it's some compelling information. But we know the mechanism of action of hyperbaric medicine. So
does it catch on eventually, or become readily available for people? Because it seems as though, I don't know how expensive a hyperbaric chamber is, but from what you're saying, there are a lot of non-invasive benefits to this. So why wouldn't people be jumping all over this?
Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, minimal small chambers are about $150,000 because we have to do it the right way. We all have probably heard about that incident up in Troy, Michigan, of a improperly maintained hyperbaric center and chamber, and a poor child lost his life. I mean, that was horrible. We don't want to do that, right? So unfortunately, about $150,000 to $250,000 for these type chambers, and then over the, they have about a 10 or a 20-year life, depending on how often you can get it certified. Registered, you know, gone through, checked, and inspected. So, you know, over the course of time, they cost a lot of money. Treatments can be anywhere from $200 to $250 each time for about an hour and a half each. And once again, it's just one. I'm a researcher. I'm just looking for cures. I'm looking for the solution to the problem naturally without having to take drugs. You know, somebody's got to pay at some point. So either the federal government subsidizes your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory or your steroid or whatever it is through your insurance company, or, you know, you're getting it through hyperbaric. So it's either pay on this side or pay on that side. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of the essence of our life at this point, unfortunately.
Yep. Where does your research go from here, doctor? What do you do?
So what I'm looking to do is I'm looking for the way to get people safely to Mars. So that's kind of the start of all this, and it is my supposition that when we travel to Mars, we should do so in a hyperbaric environment. So when that spacecraft goes, you know, it increases something called osteoblast production, and osteoblasts build bones, right? It's prophylactic to ionizing radiation, which is that radiation that you get from the sun. And as we're transiting to Mars, I'm doing all this research to make sure that, you know, we have a way to get there, and nobody has to carry us off the whatever airplane we go on to get from here to Mars, right? It's not a short trip, and it's going to be filled with peril. So we want to make sure to give our astronauts the fighting chance they need.
So you would be in a hyperbaric spacecraft almost? It would have to be because...
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That is my supposition, yeah. Yeah.
How does the research stand as far as that goes?
We know that it does a couple of things. We know that it increased that osteoblast production, and we know that every one of the astronauts that comes down off the International Space Station and any flying that we've done directly, we know that they come back with bone loss. So, you know, especially if you're going to spend a year in space or so, we're going to need to make sure we have some sort of thing that's prophylactic to bone loss. And this specific technology is, it's also, like I said, protects you from ionizing radiation, still helps your body heal itself, helps you reduce that inflammation, that you will get from that radiation that you will have and be exposed to in space. So we're just looking for things that are going to give our astronauts and our people the leg up, if you will.
I think everybody's journey is an amazing one. Joe DeTuri is 10 years old. Did you have any idea you would be where you are today at 10? What did you want to be?
No way. I was a kid that barely graduated high school. And when I say that, it's tongue in cheek, but it is the truth. I was in the lower third of my graduating high school class. No prospect for intelligence or going to college in any way, shape, or form. I grew up in New York, and, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I knew I didn't want to live there. I knew I didn't want to, get beat up all the time like I did when I was in grade school and high school. But, at some point in life, I joined the Navy when I was 17, and I spent 28 years as a Navy diver, jumping out of airplanes, doing my thing and learning my stuff. And then I learned how to learn, which was compelling. Once I learned how to learn, it was like, oh, I'm not dumb. I just didn't know how to learn. Oh, okay, great. Now I got a bachelor's, a master's, and now I have a PhD. I mean, and I go back and I talk to kids in high school all the time. I said, those standardized tests, throw them out the window. Just learn how you need to learn. And it's gone over very well.
Is NASA paying attention to this as far as Mars and hyperbaric spacecraft? You got their attention?
It's hard to get NASA's attention. I have put in for a NASA grant just this year. I put in for a NASA grant, and I did apply for the first time in my life. I'm now 57 years old. I applied for the NASA Astronaut Corps. Have not heard back this year yet, but I'm hoping.
Fascinating story, Doctor. Thank you for your work. I mean that sincerely, really. I hope these hyperbaric chambers become readily available, but I don't see it happening. I wish they would, but I don't see it happening because of the money. Thank you, sir. Dr. Joe DeTuri, Dr. Deep Sea, an assistant professor at the University of South Florida, retired Navy officer. If you've ever been in a hyperbaric chamber, I'm getting some texts from people that have. I'd like to know what kind of benefits you got from it. The Oakmont Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Talk. Text and data message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Here we go now. Here's the code word. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is heritage. Heritage. You go to WWL.com/contest. 9:43:17 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Louisiana Coastal Restoration Protection Authority voted Wednesday to fully fund its nearly $2 billion spending plan, but what about the Minbarataria sediment diversion, and how does Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, feel about it? Good morning, Simone. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me what, what's in this plan.
Tommy, if you don't mind, I want to take just a minute to recognize that this weekend was the 15th anniversary of Deepwater Horizon. Of course, it was a terrible event for Louisiana where lives were lost and damage was done. But it also gives us a chance to think about, what we've done since then. And so I just want to start the conversation kind of framing up, how we even got here in the first place. Wanted to take that minute to make sure that we recognize that.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the $2 billion plan that was approved by the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority. Authority.
Yeah, exactly. So that $2 billion plan included money for the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, which of course is a cornerstone project of our Coastal Master Plan. And because of the Deepwater Horizon funds that came to Louisiana, and we invested those funds in these regional large-scale projects, that project was moving forward and under construction in August of 2023. of course, last year the state hit a pause on that project, and we are still in that limbo. But the annual plan, which is a little different than our coastal master plan, the annual plan, which is how the state prioritizes its coastal funding, did include funds for the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, and that was approved at the board meeting last week. It'll now move through the Louisiana legislature.
All right, I'm confused. So is work on the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion going to continue or not?
That is a very good question, and those are some of the tough questions that were asked of the board last week, and I'm assuming will be asked as this annual plan goes through session. This plan includes an authorization. It does not include, you know, it doesn't say, hey, you have to spend the money on this. And it basically includes permissions to spend the money on that. And by including the money in the plan, the state is saying that the project moves forward. They have the approval to spend the money on that plan. But Tommy, I've been on this show several times, and I know some of my colleagues have as well, talking about the uncertainty that surrounds this project. Why don't we know? Why don't we know more about this project? How can a project that has been the cornerstone of four coastal master plans not have a clear path forward? Why don't we know some of these answers?
All right, let me go back. Simone, you got a $2 billion plan for the year, accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
So that is the overall coastwide funding on the state's coastal program. That doesn't even include, Tommy, money that, say, the Corps of Engineers is spending in coastal Louisiana on some of their efforts as well. But $2 billion is a big number. It means a lot of jobs and a lot of work in coastal Louisiana.
So from that point, who decides how that money gets spent?
Exactly. So that is an authorization to spend that money. It does, a post-Katrina reform is that it does have to go through the Louisiana legislature. It goes through a minimum of four committees, Tommy. It goes through natural resources and transportation on both the House and Senate side for approvals. And then, of course, it gets a House and a Senate vote as well. So the legislature will vote up or down on that annual plan. And right now, there is money in that plan to build Mid-Barataria.
So what happens to the money that is in there to build Mid-Barataria if during the course of committee hearings, either Gordy Dove or other people with the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority go before committee and say, don't build it or do build it? Or is it all about the committee hearings and then the vote that happens with the Senate or in the House and then the governor signing
The committee hearings, yeah, the committee hearings offer a chance for the legislators to ask questions of the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority. But the legislature does not have line item veto authority. So they either approve the whole plan or they do not approve the whole plan. And there's Louisiana law that states what happens if the plan is not approved, what exactly happens. And so I think as it moves through the Louisiana legislature, it's a chance for our legislators in all across the state, right? They want to know how this money is being spent, how this money has been set aside, and they can ask some of these questions of the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority as it moves through committee. Now, the state has been clear to say that this is just an authorization to spend and that usually so if something happens during implementation, a chance to talk about that again does not come up until the next annual plan. And so this is a time where people need to ask questions about the project and its path moving forward.
So the governor does have line item veto, does he not?
Not on this plan.
Not on this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's all or nothing at all after it gets through committee and the vote, legislature vote. So the devil is in the details. The Coastal Protection, Restoration Protection Authority, I'm just wondering how they can fully fund because the legislature has to approve it, right? They're saying this is a plan of how we want to spend it?
Yes, exactly. So it's permission to spend. They do have other protections in place on how they spend the money. That was all lined up, Tommy, before they began construction in August of 2023. They had all of the funding permissions in place. Of course, we got those dollars as a result of the Deepwater Horizon tragedy. That actually went through a separate approval process for those funds to be dedicated solely for this project. And so there's federal protections on how that money gets spent in addition to these state approvals as well.
So when it comes to specifically the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, it's in the $2 billion spending plan for the year, but now that plan is going to be dissected in the Natural Resources and Transportation Committees in both the House and the Senate. They will issue their reports. Then it will eventually turn into a bill. I sound like Schoolhouse of Rock here, that will be voted on in the House and the Senate. And then if they come up with a bill that is approved by both, then it goes to the governor's desk. Am I right so far?
Yeah, essentially, very close, Tommy. Yes. So it comes across as a resolution, right? And so that is just a different type of instrument at the Louisiana legislature. Again, this was all part of post-Katrina and Rita reforms so that we had layers of public transparency, public input and support. Of course, all those committee hearings have opportunities for the public to speak, have opportunities for the legislators to ask questions as well. But essentially, that is the process here on out. And so the money, which we are supportive of, was included in this annual plan. But tough questions remain about this path forward and about these alternatives being proposed. Tommy, we stand on the idea that there is simply no alternative for this diversion. And we also understand a lot about those permissions and permits and how that funding got dedicated to the project. So we know it's not as simple as just redirecting the money in a different direction.
And meanwhile, work has been stopped for 90 days.
Yes, the state announced several weeks ago that they are under a 90-day temporary suspension of work. They had been down, they had worked down to just a few tasks left on their construction list from hitting that pause almost a year ago. In the summer, there was a temporary reprieve where they resumed more construction activities, but we're now back to this suspension of work. But to be really clear, Tommy, this was a demobilization from the construction site. They moved equipment off of the site, and there is no activity happening.
So when would we know about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion? At the end of the legislative session?
That is a very good question, Tommy, and those are some of the questions that have been asked of them. What happens after this 90-day suspension of work? What happens next? What happens with the money? And what are some of these other alternatives, quote, that are being discussed? And when do they plan to talk to the public and the communities impacted about those plans?
Thank you, Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. At least it's not complicated. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us. In case you missed it, the WWL.com/contest code word of the day to win tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest is Heritage. Go to WWL.com/contest, register to win. Second weekend of Jazz Fest. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Back in a flash.